Started on the regular meeting of the Yak School Board of Trustees. This is Wednesday, 3:45, November 20th, 2024, at the Yak School. We have a sign-in sheet. If you haven't signed in, please sign in and let us know you're here. If you're here to speak, indicate on there that you want to speak. The minutes are we do record our meetings. That is the official minutes now, and they'll be published onto the school's website. You can download them off the website within 5 business days from today. So that's how we're doing it from as we've adopted a new policy to do that. And please remember, we have an agenda to go through. We can visit afterwards, but we'd like to get all the business done kind of at the first if we can. There is a spot at the end of the agenda for public comment, limited to a couple of minutes. And remember to be respectful of the people and the time and the content of any comments, and don't stray from the topic if we could. So we'll call this meeting to order. I'd like to welcome all of our visitors here, and looks like we have Nev from...
I work for Cabinet Mountain Co-op, and I just happen to be up here hanging out and working with kiddos today, and I'm hanging out at the Airbnb tonight. I have nothing else to do this afternoon, so I'm happy to join you.
All right.
It's the most exciting place to be.
It really is.
Excitement in the act. And we have Josh Bridges and Britt Wright, parents, and Ron Webb and Bill Sullivan, teacher Sabray, and Lee, our teacher's aide there. And we also have Rose Wilson visiting, who used to be a teacher here. And so with that, we've recognized visitors, and we'll proceed. She was here earlier, and
she left.
She left because of the weather.
I had paper of hers.
Okay. So
sorry.
We'll go to continuing business on the maintenance report. I visited with Sabray. She's still working with Formula Fab as far as the hot water heater issue. She's been in contact with them because I don't know her schedule and I don't know Josh's schedule, but he's going to come up at some point and take a look at the system and make a bid for a new hot water, on-demand hot water heater in there, and visit with us a little more in depth about that. And she's exploring other things to look at as far as water volume and whether or not we use the, the suggestion was use the bathroom sink water as well as the hot water in the sink at the same time to create enough flow to make it hot water. But now she's having trouble getting sufficient hot water out of anything.
Water doesn't, once the hot water cuts off, we tested to see if the hot water cut off in the bathroom as well, and it did. So it's not just the hot water in the sink. That was our first step. And now we're going to try the shower and see if it has any hot water, and also to see the pressure and to time it on how long I run it and run the water before it shuts down. And like I told him too, and you guys are aware as well, it's intermittent and it comes and goes. Mm-hmm. And it's happened at the bathroom as well. I'll turn it on and then the hot water goes off. I get error code 12, and I videoed it this time and I showed Dave the video, and the water seems to be, it's coming out great. The pipes are fine. So
I did visit with one of the techs that they send up here to service them, and he said there are some models that did have problems, and this is probably one of them. So with that in mind, they're working with Sabray, And if they can't get it ironed out what it is, then he'll come up and make a bid on it, and we'll see about getting another one. Also on maintenance, Artie has been working on replacing receptacles in the classroom and various electrical points of contact here in the building, so that they're all updated. Same way with the light fixture. And he's moved on to winter things as well. Unplugged the water equipment outside and drained the water out of the lines. The swing set, he's working on the bottom of it. He's bought some material, an epoxy type stuff to put down on the base, and some sheet metal to wrap around it so that it's sealed around at the base where the snow has leached in and caused some wood rot from the outside. But it seems secure enough. But he's working on that. He's taken the basketball goals, put them in a repose position, the lower position, and covered them with plastic and sealed them up so they'll be winterized, so we won't have that problem. And I guess we get down. Come on in, Nikki. We also have we started on the winter stuff. We have Josh is contracted with us to do the sidewalks and trails and all of the areas that need to be snowblown and cleaned up for the winter. Also, the Snow Joe is available, and we've verified that the snowblower works. Fired it up. Lee's husband, Mike, and I, he started it for me. I was feeling a little punk that day on my shoulder, so he felt spunky and got it done. And but it started right up, so it's running. And then we have buckets of sand around. There's sand, I believe, in the shed room, and also some around the little lean-to over there for him. And I've got some more at the house in a 5-gallon bucket. So that.
We want at the back door. There's nothing at the back door.
Over here.
A bucket right okay. This back door. So.
We'll nice put that out there then. Okay.
It's the milk. What do I not have? And then I couldn't open it up, so I had to wait and get Josh to. It was like, it was on there. Yeah.
Some of those are tough.
It would not open. But there's nothing to sprinkle out there in the mornings.
I was just using the bucket from your porch is what I was using this morning.
Okay.
Okay.
But on the weekends, I mean, I don't want to run out of it.
I don't know where the other bucket is. So.
Bucket. We always had three, so we can ask Artie.
We'll look around. We'll get on it. I'll ask Artie this evening. Woods in the wood pile. Firebox was cleaned out last year, the chimney. So I think we're all winterized. The heater's on out in the pressure tank room. So the pipes won't freeze. We have four extra heaters that we purchased from Ace last year that are available to put underneath each of the heating units in here, because the electric heat that we have in here doesn't work after about, once it gets down minus 20 or 20 degrees, I think.
Yeah, it is.
And so we put we just, like last year, when it got down to minus 50, I put the heaters underneath each one so that we could take advantage of the blowing action of the heaters, although they didn't have heat. Little heaters kept it warm in here and kept everything open. We opened up down in the base and also made sure that everything was going in the pressure tank room. So I think we got all of the electrics taken care of. The
are we going to pull them down or wait until it gets that cold?
What?
Those little heaters.
That's pretty seasonable. Okay. They're upstairs, okay. I believe.
Okay.
That's where they're supposed to be. So
okay.
We'll have him get them ready at the ready. I just didn't want to have them out so we trip
not
around.
Fine. I just when it happens because we know where they're at.
We'll get them. That's the only place I could think that they would be. They're not out in the shed.
So if the ambient air drops down to 20 degrees...
No, minus 20, sub-zero temperatures. If
the heat strips will take up the slack and do that down to about minus 20. After that, it's not effective. They can't effectively... There's not a heat differential to be able to do that, so that's why we augment with a little extra heat to...
Makes sense.
It's maybe chilly in here, but at least it'll work, so...
And you can start the wood stove if it's too cold, and then little heaters can't keep up.
While you're on the maintenance thing, did we make the teacher each steps done?
Yes.
Yeah, they did last week.
And then the only thing that was left for me was sealing the crack on the basketball court, and I got that done. And so I finished everything I said I'd do this summer, so I'm done.
Okay, thank you.
And just so you know, one of those already came up when Josh was shoveling today. They get cold and they're coming up. So I don't know. Do we need to...
What's that?
One of those little weather strips. Slip resistant strips.
Oh, you didn't put the expanded metal on the steps?
No. The heat strips...
Because it just fills up with ice and then it doesn't work.
Yeah, it does. It really... I had that on my bridge... And that's actually what's on the steps at the side of the slide is what I had on the bridge. But once you start having to use a shovel, it doesn't work. It just...
Ice built up in it. You've got to scrape it up and it'll pop it right up too.
Yeah, so it's the same problem. And
maybe if you staple them down... Instead, are they stapled down or are they just sticky on the back?
They're sticky on the back.
They need to be, somebody needs to go out there with the staple gun and staple them.
Okay. We'll make a note.
It's not rocket science.
No.
Actually, I think that's what Mike did to ours on our steps last year. He ended up stapling.
Yeah, you got to staple them because every time you shovel, they just peel up.
No, I guess it
doesn't
work.
All right. So I have a quick question because y'all know I'm a rookie to all this.
Uh-huh.
Is there a certain temperature where the kids don't actually come to school? I'm just curious.
No.
Nope.
It was -22 degrees.
So no snow days around here.
Every day's a snow day, but we don't count them. They don't get credit.
Just started.
These are Yak kids.
I called my boss today, and I was like, it's a snow day today. I'm taking off work. He was like, no, you're not. I was just curious. I didn't know because of the heat and all that, like if it was ever, cold that...
We do is if they can't make it in, a parent says they can't make it in, it's an excused absence.
Right,
and they don't work and stuff. So it's not like they're going to be counted absent. It's going to go against them and everything like that. And I just put in the comments, -25 degrees, parents could make it in.
Right. What was it, the year before last that it got down there? Was it last year, -35?
I forgot.
My
older dad
starts. So
the vehicle won't start. Don't you worry about it. And it's okay. So just so you know that it's not a hard and fast, though, you better get here.
Yeah, exactly.
Teacher can get here. You better get here. Unless she falls.
Just a heads up on that. Usually they won't start because of the oil. It's in the pan. If you got one of those briquettes or a little barbecue, just stick it right underneath the pan, and about 30 minutes, it'll start right on.
Also, Nikki's husband has agreed to do the plowing out here on the parking lot. So, Gary, he said he'd do that. So, all right, that should get us through the winter maintenance items. The security window covering. We needed a picture and...
And I didn't get to that because I wanted to, when I come up with the funding and stuff, I wanted to find out the status and discuss that.
What do you mean come up with the funding?
I'll get on my teacher when I'll go to it.
Okay, we can put it on the teacher's report.
Yeah, it's on October's input.
All right. Technology report.
Not too much. I did find out testing the system that we go back to 20 days, which is, I think, what you understood before. Greg thought it was only 7, but I was able to go back 20 days.
20 days on the
video?
It depends if the kids are running around, because the activity eats up memory. Just the running around and recording it. So at this point, I mean, I would say between 2 to 3 weeks. Things are going, so
okay.
I'll monitor it, though.
We got our income surveys back, and this will be the first year that we may have a change in our percentage, our discount percentage. I won't know yet. Jones, our consultant, has to finish filling out all the forms and doing the calculations, but we may be looking down the barrel next year of not a 90% discount on our internet service. Because out of 4 students, only 1 falls below or within the guidelines of the free lunch program, which is the guidelines for our discount for E-rate.
So we will not say that. I didn't understand the amounts.
Right now we get 90%, and she has to recalculate our discount based on this year's surveys. All 3 of them came back. But out of 4 students, only 1 student meets the guidelines for the hot lunch program, which is the guidelines that E-rate uses to calculate our discount. So our discount may not be 90% next year. It may only be whatever the calculations come out to. It's based on poverty levels. So
we'll have to look at that when it comes around to budget time.
Well, I will send you all an email as soon as Nicole gets done making the calculations and let you know that we have to come up with more money because we are not getting a 90% discount.
Okay.
Which is not going to be my problem next year.
I don't know when you want me to talk about the... I'm currently taking a class for the Title IX, which we talked about last month, signed up for 2 different classes, and so I'll have completed that, so we meet that standard for the requirements of the state, and we will make materials available from that for the public if they want to come in here and look at the binder regarding Title IX. We don't fall under the Title IX that the rest of the United States. There's 4 states that are part of an injunction where we follow the old standard. We don't deal with the transgender and some of the changes that they made, at least at this time. We'll see what happens with that injunction, the court case. And, of course, it may all fall apart now that we have a new president, too. So anyway, just so you know that will be available in a couple weeks or whatever, if you want to look at what Title IX...
We will be meeting the Montana requirements.
But
as of now,
that's amazing.
We're working.
And I think that training that they sent that link to as well. So.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ken. Mm-hmm. We'll move on to the curriculum committee.
The curriculum committee will be meeting again once a month on board meeting days, and we meet at 2:30, and then we go until 3:15, just like we did last year. And then those are my admin days, and so we come in and discuss on those days, and then we fall right into the board meetings right after that.
And that starts in December then?
No, not till January.
January.
Like we did last year.
Okay. Starting in January. Okay, thank you, Spray.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Fundraising committee.
Fundraising committee update is that they are now already looking at a date now so that we can get more vendors prior to, because before we never knew where we were going to be able to hold it the last few years because of the foundation and the playground and etc. And so now they're actually looking at dates to bring it back to the school. And so, but they're bringing it back to the school, but there was more money raised at the tavern. So they're looking at both ways because they get, depending on what they want to do with it. So,
okay.
That's just the update. I'm not on that committee.
All right. Thank you.
Is that just for the school?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, and we do it once a year, a big fundraiser. And
okay, cool.
We have vendors come and set up, and so
okay.
We've done really good in the last years.
Awesome.
All right, I think that ends our continuing business. We're on to new business items. Review the inventory and fixed assets.
Okay, the fixed assets are the same as they were when I reported off the TFS. I will be increasing the building value by the amount of the new flooring because that wasn't in there when I did the TFS. The one we decided not to count every pencil and eraser in the building like we were in the past. So now the only things that we are inventorying are our technology devices and the curriculum books, just textbooks and workbooks. That's all we really are required to do. We put a base value on the extra things that are here, but we don't have to count them every year. We do need to have, I would like to ask Ken to go through. We did a purge of old equipment from upstairs. And so what we need to do is we need to go through the building and get a good solid count of what's here. And
okay.
That's all equipment. That's the Vibe, any tech device.
Okay.
The Vibe, the computers, the laptops. I'm hoping, because I keep hearing off and on that we have Chromebooks that don't work. So it would be nice if someone could come and sit down and power them up. That's those little books out
right.
there.
Right. Yeah, I thought most of them worked, didn't
they? I don't know.
I thought we went.
Well, the last I heard, there was some that weren't working.
Really? Okay, we'll check.
So I would like those all checked, and if they aren't working, they are not a device that is worth fixing. They just aren't.
That's true.
Okay? They're cloud-based. They don't have an operating system, and if they're not functioning, there's no really way to fix them.
Got it.
Okay? Also, the stuff that's hanging on the wall out here, all those switches and stuff, those all probably should be on that mm-hmm. list. Okay?
I'll check with you. Okay.
Okay.
The switches for all the internet. So these aren't working. So, Diane, my understanding was that they were for these things right here in these corners, and I was told we had to keep it. So I just want to check to see, to clarify.
Those aren't switches.
I know that, but where is their control, those switches?
Those are hardwired into the panel on the wall out there.
That'd be the router.
Yes.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Yeah, that's what I just want to double check because I don't
yeah.
and I'm not a technologist.
And I'm not really sure if those are even functioning, to tell you the truth. I don't know.
Well, when I asked Greg and them to if they could be taken down, and I don't remember who told me, they said, no, you have to have them. So I said, okay.
They actually piggyback the signal once... Once it comes
out. It's a booster is what it is.
Yeah.
So we need it. Okay.
All right.
And on the inventory, my question is because we've always gone in and inventoried all the math and manipulatives, all the things out here, because they're high dollar too, and they're inventoried. And so are we, I just want to clarify, because you said just... Are we going to be
If you would like to count, if you would like to count every year, those things, they can be counted. If that's something that you would like to have done, but I mean, also, there's thousands of little things out there, Sabre.
Well, I'm not
are
counting
you gonna,
those.
Are we,
I'm counting like every other item out there. All of that science stuff, all of that other stuff that's out there. Is that not going to be inventoried? Because a lot of it's Title I, and we have to show Title I tags on them. So I'm asking for clarification.
You're talking like microscopes and things like that?
No, I'm talking like all the math stuff, all the math cards, all the math, the globes, that one's mine, but yeah, so...
Okay, it seems
I've got sight words, I've got, I mean...
And those were all purchased with Title I money?
Not everything in my hand right now, but I don't know what's been bought with Title I.
Why, you're the one who purchases it.
Prior to me, and I don't know why you're so frustrated with me, Diane. I'm just trying to get clarification.
Okay.
And work with you guys to make sure that we're labeling stuff.
Well, we'll... I guess we'll have to visit about that.
We marked everything that was Title I when we went through and had our audit. So everything that we have in the building at this point in time is marked. And it's on the inventory sheet where even actually it was located before we moved everything out and moved everything back in.
Those were the things that we bought while I've been here.
And everything else that is on those inventory sheets that was bought with Title I money that we still have and are still using, which is very few items, are marked on the inventory sheet as Title I. And I don't know where they are because the inventory has gotten to be such a huge behemoth thing that it is hard to keep track of it. Nobody wants to do it. You know?
I don't want to do it. I'm not saying I don't want to do it. I don't have time to do it.
That's why last year when we went through all of this, we decided since it was so time consuming and we didn't really have a way like big schools do, everything has a SKU mark on it or a barcode. And somebody just goes through with a little thing and goes like that. And everything is itemized and printed out. We don't have that. So somebody sits here and we spend hours and hours paying someone to count every little thing that's in this building. And we just can't, it doesn't have to be that way. And I thought we went through this last year at the same time, the same meeting.
We did.
Okay, then I'll just pull those minutes and read them and see, because that's not what I'm recalling. And then we can go that route and see what has to be, because I'm having an accreditation coming up. And again, it has all of these questions and all of this input.
We'll take that up. Let's do this. Let's do this then. Let's table this one to put down for the December meeting, and we can visit in the meantime.
Perfect.
See what's going on. See, and then kind of we can individually visit with each board member to see what we want to do. Then we'll make a policy decision in December on exactly what we meant to do last year.
Just one comment on that. Mm-hmm. While I was working down here on the playground, I know Trish was in that conics box quite almost every day. Mm-hmm. What happened to that inventory list?
I have that one. The science is done. Okay. I did the books and she did the science.
Okay. I'm just curious.
And then Summer was here.
Because I know she was down here a lot.
Yeah. Okay, we'll move on to the next item. We'll take up the inventory December. In the meantime, we'll talk about it. Teachers report on the students' immunization status.
All of our report for the, we have four students. Three out of four are good to go. The other one, I'm waiting on the report from the parents. No fault of the parents, totally on my part, because I didn't get that request into them soon enough. It fell through the cracks. And so they're already working on it to get it for me. The other three are all up to date. And so most kids that are coming in now, they're not required to get a booster until seventh grade. And so, and I reached out to the Department of Human Service, DPHS, and I've got their phone numbers and everything in here, because in the past and in the records, the last time any schools put in their input was 2019. And in the past, I said, we don't have to input these reports anymore. And so I'm going back in. I left a message for the lady to say, do I need to input this data information into the system? Because they mentioned another system, but I don't know about it. So we're good to go. As soon as that, I'll be able to give you in December that we're all the way good to go.
Okay. So we'll receive
you want to
that.
See them or anything? Because they're all in here.
We'll receive the report. That's good. That's a personal medical. So.
Okay. I've never typed up a report for you guys, so if you want me to get one typed up, I can.
That's good. I wrote it down. District fire protection assessment fee.
We got a tax bill from the Department of Revenue for $50, which we've never gotten a tax bill in the 12 years I've lived here. So I emailed the county treasurer and asked her what was going on. And she emailed me back. This is her answer. It's in actuality, she was contacted the Montana DNRC and asked them why we were getting taxed because we were a school. And this is what they wrote back to Sedaris, our county treasurer. You have both reached out to inquire about tax-exempt properties and school districts receiving fire protection assessment fees this year. Since the state protects these properties as a service to forested landowners and does not receive compensation through the tax system of this protection, individual forested property owners are mandated through legislation to pay fire protection assessment for this provided service. I have included an informative document. There's a couple of copies over there of both of the documents that they sent me if you would like more information. But the school is now paying $50 a year to the county for fire protection assessment fees.
Okay. So it looks like it's required?
Yes. Annually now, the school will be paying $50 a year to the county treasurer's office.
So it goes to the county?
Yes, it goes to the county. All the information about infrequently asked questions are on those flyers over there on the desk, if anyone wants more information.
So do we need, we don't need to have a motion? Or
no.
It's just a bill.
Just a bill.
It's going to get paid.
Yeah. And you signed a check for it.
I did.
Today.
Well, I anticipated it would be approved. Our teacher's report, down to that item. We got immunizations covered and state testing update. And
okay, so we, let me find my notes right here. All right, yes, so. So the state testing, we finished our first mass testing yesterday, and so the way it is set up now is that we take four and then a fifth one at the end of the year. So four times a year, the students have to take what they call testlets. I wasn't even certain how it was set up or laid out or anything, other than what I had to make sure that they were going to be tested on this quarter. So we tested on those, and we got them complete, and then, so that was good for the kids. And the closing date is Friday, and so what happens a lot of times, and it happened, and I had to just keep replying, got it. They'll start sending out notices. We noticed that you haven't completed your state testing. And then on Monday, they send it, and then they courtesy copy the superintendent. We notice you haven't completed your, just trying to make sure everyone does it. And so we will always be at the very end, because every day that I get to teach before they go in and do their assessments is a day that we can count on. So.
Okay.
Playground rules, and I've got them right here. I forgot to print them off last time and leave them for you, but they're right here, and I'll print them for you. And I made those changes. Playground rules, and I'll read to you what we added. And then it was two. Actually, let's see. Wait. Can you touch the back of that board, maybe? No, that's okay. I'd have to go up there anyway. So this was the playground ones. The playground ones were pretty, they were good to go. I didn't have any changes in the playground ones. The ones I had, the changes that were requested were in the classroom one. In the classroom, they had the added parts of classroom. To be respectful and kind, Listen when the teacher's speaking or given instructions. Listen when peers are speaking. Use polite language and tone. Appreciate the diversity of ideals, cultures, and opinions. And then be prepared and accountable. And then they know, and we've gone through this, and this is our routine. I had it up on the board. As soon as they arrive, they know to wash their hands and sharpen their pencils, be ready to be responsible and accountable. Make sure you have all your classroom supplies and materials in the classroom, planner, homework binder, AR book, etc. Use your time wisely and complete classwork and assignments on time. If you do not complete the classwork, it will be homework and it's due the next day. And that's been working great. And then the next one is be responsible, take ownership for actions, and come to class prepared to learn. It's their job. Stay on task when working with the teacher and working independently. Follow instructions the first time. Seek clarification if needed. Keep your area cleaned up to include the inside of the desk. There's a lot of safety hazards going on right now. We're trying to fix that. Respect and take care of school property. Participate actively. Be engaged in class discussions and activities. Avoid distractions and stay focused on task and listen to your peers. Be safe, respect personal boundaries, keep hands and feet objects to yourself. Use classroom equipment and materials properly and safely. Consequences, the three strike rules. But we also have, the kids and I discussed another one when we came up with another one to put on there. And so what happens was, there were so many shout outs and off task, they collaborated and decided that, okay, if we have 10 shout outs, and then we dropped it down to 6 after all this time, and that's what they get, they have to write a paper on why their distractions are interrupting their learning. And ever since that has happened, I haven't had to have one paper. The kids are on task, they're laughing, they're seeing that they have more time for recess. And then keep your areas cleaned. Okay, I already said that one. And then total of 6 marks, write your paper, and then they also have it down. Then the other one, that the three strike rule, was a parent notification in person, and then writing, then parent notification in person. And then the strike 3, they know they are going to end up losing their chance to go on the next field trip. Was that all? I couldn't remember if there was anything else that you had recommended. And just that their actions, and we discussed actions reflect on their parents and stuff, and so.
It's trying to get everybody involved. Mm-hmm. In that.
Yeah.
And so that way the parents are notified that there's something going on in the classroom. So. Yeah.
And I can tell you that every parent is on board, and the parents this year are actively engaged. They're right there. They call, they come in, they help. So it's been a great year. And I'll get that printed off for you so you can see it in person.
You need to approve those.
Okay.
The one that was revisited. The classroom rules.
Playground rules and class. Do I hear a motion for approval of the playground rules and the classroom rules? Yes.
Yes.
I'll concur. Show up.
Ken moves that you accept.
Ken moves and I concur. And Pam is not here. She had to be elsewhere today and notified us well in advance. And
can I just, parents, are you good with all of them? Or is it all working? Is there anything you want changed or anything? Because I can do anything, change anything too.
It seemed all pretty good to me.
I mean, in short of bringing the paddle back, I think it's working.
Yeah, girl.
That's a bridge I don't want to cross right now. I ranked that up there with that and outdoor cameras looking at the highway. Okay. Professional development update.
Professional development. At the October meeting, we need to change it because what happened was Susie has asked if I was putting that presentation on, and someone said yes, I was putting that presentation on. And that wasn't me putting that presentation on. That was Montana State University, and it was on the dyslexia training and innovation presented by Montana State University via Zoom. And I invited community and parents and told them they could come in and we could watch it on the big screen if they wanted to. Had one that wanted to come in, but then they ended up ill and couldn't. And so I was the only one that attended, and I got 3 credit hours from OPI for that one as well. And it will be, they said it should be recorded, so if anyone ever wants. But it's some new innovative ways, and it really spoke to the parents in the community on how kids that have dyslexia and parents and adults that have it, that you're not abnormal. And there's ways around it and different teaching methods and stuff. So it was a really good seminar.
Okay, and that's the dyslexia seminar
on October the 24th.
And October meeting input also on the agenda.
Yes, well, and then I also completed the November the 8th, I did professional development for Character Strong, and that was working with the kids on how to, and I have them all in here too. The Character Strong is on digital curriculum, and right now Montana Small School Association has bought this, and it goes in and it helps us talk about character and empathy and things like that. And so it's going to be a welcome to the classroom too, to go in and have the kids, and it's K through 12, so you get to teach the whole child for those counseling ones. And so, and it gives us a flexibility and low burden on preparation because it's already done. The other one that I attended on the afternoon was on suicide prevention and mental health exploration. And so that one was actually one that you got certification in. And so I got certified, and it's called QPR, Certification for Suicide Prevention. And it's like CPR, but knowing the identifiers and being able to work and talk with the child, the parents, the individuals, and know where to send them for resources. And so those were two great ones. I also read the email that was sent to it, and when it got sent out, I applied because we're part of the consortium. So when Lee substituted for me that day, the Montana Small School Association paid her substitution fee, and we already got that check, and I they called to verify we got it, and I opened it and put it in Diane's box.
So Bray, could you send me just a little list of what you have done so far this year, dates and programs and or whatever you've done for professional development, because I got to have that for reporting. Thanks.
And the okay, I'll just copy this and send it to you.
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, and then at October's meeting, there was a lot of discussion at that meeting, and I wanted to go back to the grant, and I wanted to talk about the grant, the one that I put together and submitted. It was the $8,000 grant, and then it got bumped down to getting $6,000 of it, and then more was going to be coming out.
Do you remember which title program that grant was for?
1-4-A, I believe.
Yeah, 4-A.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. What do you want to know?
How can we shift money from a grant that I wrote for the kids and technology based off of our curriculum committee meetings? How can it be shifted and stuff without any conversation with the teacher or anything with the impact of what it does?
Because it's a budget. Because it's a budgeting issue, Sabre. The only reason that you aren't getting to spend the whole $8,000 of Title IV-A money is because we were short in Title I-A money in order to pay your salary. So in order to fix that, I flexed money, all of the money except $842 from Title 2A to Title 1A, and $2,000 from Title 4A to Title 1A to offset the short in Title 1A in order to be able to pay your salary for the year.
Okay.
There wouldn't have been any discussion.
My question is that because my salary and everything had already been set prior to me working on this grant, and when I wrote this grant and submitted it to the state, I had to be very specific as to what I was using that funding for.
And that's, you are still using that funding for that, you're just not spending as much money.
Okay, but the grant was for $8,000. I had to explain to them how I was going to spend $8,000.
Mm-hmm.
And at no point did I put in there that I was going to be covering any of my salary. I put in there and made a list of every single thing that the curriculum committee and I discussed.
It's not your salary.
Can you let her finish, please?
Okay.
So, and I'm not trying to be aggressive. I'm trying to figure out how we can work these issues out.
We can't because we don't know how much money each grant is going to give us.
Ma'am?
No, it's
rude. Okay. Can I raise my hand and ask one question? If Sabray wrote the grant for the school and it was for a specific deal, how can we unilaterally go and take $2,000 off of that to pay for something else? It seems to me like she went to the effort to get the grant. It looked like gravy money to take care of the school, and then now we can't do what the grant says we were going to do. I guess the salary was taken care of prior to this grant being written. So I'm trying to understand how a teacher can write a grant, get the money, and then that money taken away from her.
I have one question too. Do you have to, because we used to have to do this, do you have to account for that money?
Yes.
At the end.
Yes.
So that's what my concern is to your grant. How are you going to explain that?
Exactly. And I have to say what we did and how we spent it and everything, because, and that's where my question is about the meeting too, is because the only reason I know is because last year I wasn't aware that there was an art grant written, and I didn't write it, Diane wrote it. And we had art monies, but then at the end of the year, I had to justify why and how we spent that money. And I'm like, what? Okay, so now I have to go in and justify it. And I was like, okay. And that's the one that kept flying back and forth between all of us that I had a short deadline on, and I didn't have access to the website. Only got like copies and paste. And that's the one we kept flying back and forth in regards to the hours and the time that I had to get it in, because I couldn't get it in that time. And so...
So you're worried about that happening again?
Oh, it will happen, because to justify.
No,
it won't. Mind what happened?
It won't ever happen again, because from now on, Sabray will have access to e-grants, which no teacher ever in the 12 years I have worked at this job has a teacher ever had e-grant access. But now the teacher will be responsible for doing every year the ESEA consolidated state grants, which is our title money. It is Title 1A, Title 2A, and Title 4A. She can go in and she can do whatever she wants with the money, and
then have the clerk take it away from other budgeting.
No.
Well, why? What is any different than this?
Because you're going to do the whole process. The clerk's not going to have anything to do with it anymore. It's going to be your job.
But it's the budgeting thing. So that's the budgeting thing is the e-grant was for $8,000. But
what you're not understanding, Sabre, is when we start the process, we don't know for sure how much money we're going to have. We have to look at all three of those grants. The Title I grant, in my opinion, is the most important. It has the most to do with the students that are struggling. Okay? 35% of your salary at this point in time is paid with Title I money. Every year we have less and less children, so the money in Title I gets less and less because it's based on A and B. So as that money goes away for Title I, we have to find other ways. And one of the ways that we legally can do that is to what's called flex money from other title programs to the Title I program. That's what I did. And I am sorry that you were given that original number to work with, but that's what I had to work with. So when it all washed out and I realized we're going to be short and we're not going to have enough money to pay you, that portion that's paid with Title I money, I flexed the money. I made the decision. And if you want to hang me on a cross for that, that's just fine. I don't care.
I'm not trying to hang you on a cross.
But what you have to... Let me finish. What you have to understand is that what you wrote there and what your plan is for that Title IVA money... There's still money there. You're just not going to get to buy as much stuff. Isn't that okay?
I understand that. However, when Susie says we get money next year, just like you just said, it fluctuates. So we won't be getting as much money on a curriculum thing. And my concern is that there's no communication between the teacher, the board, the clerk, in regards to the classroom and what's going on in here. I wasn't told that this was going to happen. All I hear on the audio is, well, she's going to be shocked and upset. Well, yeah, I'm going to be shocked. I'm totally shocked that the energy and the effort to look out for the students to expand their education in this building and teach through STEM programs is that you can't come and talk to me and discuss it with me and say, hey, we're struggling here and I'm allowed to do this because I don't know. And then I hear that we took the money from that, and then the next thing is we're going to take some more money for the film for the windows if it was allowed. So it's like it keeps, that was for the kids.
I have a question. Did you write this grant and get accepted before or after the budget was approved?
After.
So then why are we short $2,000 in our budget that was approved?
That's my question.
Because the budget that you approved is a general fund budget. It has nothing to do with the title grant money.
I don't need your attitude when you respond to me.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. But still, my question, the original question is... The funding that we got from the state to begin with, what happened to those monies that that were budgeted and approved for the teacher's salary? Where did those monies go before we got the grant for $8,000? That's the part I'm trying to figure out.
The budget that was approved for the teacher's salary was not 100% of her salary. It was the percent, 35% of her salary is not in the general fund. It's in Title I.
1A.
So what was approved in the general, see what you're not understanding here, I think, is that the budgets for grants has nothing to do with the budget that we sat here and I went over with you and it was approved. That's the general fund budget, the budget for the building reserve fund, and the budget for the retirement fund, and the budget for the transportation fund. It has nothing to do with grant, federal grant money. Nothing.
So how's this teacher's salary budget outside of grant money? Where's it come out of?
It comes out of the general fund.
That's what we're saying.
All of it, but 35%. 35% of it isn't written into the general fund. It's written into the title grant money.
Okay.
Title 1A. I don't understand why.
And Diane, can I just say
you've
something?
Been here for 4 years. Have we not talked about this every year? Why now?
No, because you and I have always sat at that computer and worked on all of these e-grants together. And so I am trying to figure out what's going on when we're trying, the job of the function of the school is to educate these kids to the best of our ability.
And that's what I was doing.
And we...
By moving that money to Title I.
And we, me as a teacher, I can't speak for these individuals. No, I don't understand those processes.
I still don't have an answer.
I don't.
Well,
so when I'm asking...
Here's what the board's going to do.
What happened if you would have never gotten that grant? Then what would have happened?
We get the grant every year. It's never denied us. It
you
is never
that
denied.
Grant every year? That science grant?
No, every year.
This is my first year.
We apply for Title 4A. And Title 4A can be spent.
Yeah.
There's a whole list of things that Title 1 can be spent on, and Title 4 and Title 2. Under Title 4 usage, science programs can be paid for. So can music and art programs. Anything that is for a well-rounded education, improving safety for the children, and or technology. Those are the three items. That's why last year we did art and music. This year she had her new science thing. She went away. I thought, that's wonderful. We can now do buy science stuff. So that's what I did.
So the grant's written for every year.
Right? Yes.
You get it every year.
Yes.
So you just...
We just pick what to do with the money.
Right. So it's like a safety net, kind of, to be able to pull a teacher however much you need to be able to pull the teacher's salary if you have $1,500 or $2,000 or whatever that amount is. This grant that you get every year... It's
there's three, actually.
Like a safety net for that, right? Is that kind of what I'm understanding?
Portion
yeah.
of the salary.
Portion
yeah.
of it. Okay. So
okay.
this
whoa,
is
whoa,
your
whoa,
first...
A portion
whoa,
of the
whoa,
teacher's
whoa.
Salary is paid right. out of Title I money because
hey,
she teaches
I'm,
the
I'm,
children and she is the Title I program director.
I was on the curriculum committee last year.
I'm going to table this right now.
There's $2,000 missing.
No, there's not.
Yes, there is.
No, let's not. Let's dial down here, please.
No, I was on the curriculum committee. I know what we did.
Well,
and there's $2,000 missing.
No, we're gonna.
And as a member of this community, I want to see where this money went.
We'll visit with the clerk. And with the teacher.
I will sit down with you. I sat down at the last meeting. I went over everything I did.
I've been doing shit for this school for 15 years. Now there's $2,000 missing.
No, there's not, Ron.
That's why it was tabled. Should have been
we'll table it. And
get down.
We'll take
we
it
can
up
go out on the school website right now and I can pull up the financial reports from the last meeting and I can show you every penny and where it went.
Nothing's have that. Missing. Nothing's missing. It's all there. It's how it's accounted for. We'll take...
All you have to do is go look at the financial reports that are posted
we'll
on the website.
We'll have a written report on this for December. All right. We were...
Okay.
Had a deal on the...
This is going to be filed. Okay.
It'll be followed up on.
All right. So then the next thing I have from October's meeting was, it's actually twofold. And so what it was because it was, I think it was Ron that brought up the resignation of the clerk. And they
which item on the agenda are we on?
Under October meeting input.
Okay. So why is that on here?
Because it was discussed in October's meeting.
She wasn't at the meeting and she has input that she wants to.
Okay, so
clarification.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And so, based on that question, the law book says that I can introduce why the clerk resigned because it was because she stated because of me.
No.
And so, okay, so the right of the individual privacy may be waived by the individual about whom the discussion pertains, and in the event the meeting must be open, and it pertained to me because it was resigned because of me. And so, but at this point, when that resignation happened,
I didn't say anything. No one said anything about you at the meeting.
I know, but I'm part of the resignation. Okay. Exceeds. Okay, so the right of the individual privacy may be waived by the individual about whom their discussion pertains. And at the end, when Sherry Elke was speaking and saying how there were 12 homeschool kids and et cetera, and there's not a registered homeschool kid. Susie doesn't have any registered homeschool kids. But the thing is that it goes over into the lack of communication. I've never had any feedback from any of that. Because the information that was in the letter was not what was told to Lee by that individual. And no one has come and spoke to me. In fact, no one's been in the building in a month, the whole month I've been back. There's no communication. Things are, no talking to the teacher about funding, about anything. And so, and I've requested meetings, how can we get this done? Because, and then to have only one adult in this building, and I know one of my parents wrote a letter to you, an email to Dave and to Susie. You know, having one person in here, there's no break for the teacher. What are we going to do as a team to figure out how we can resolve some of these issues? Because there's none. And it gets frustrating when you're just out there and it's like, okay, you just had your funding taken away, you don't know about this. Next allegation, you don't know about this. And then, and that goes around the community. But then what's not said, ever, really, think one time about we did a good job on the wings lot. But where do we recognize what the kids are doing in the classroom when I bring it up? Or even to have someone come in and go, hey, that was looking really good. I'm just letting y'all know.
This is now getting pretty far afield of the board meeting, though.
Well, I'm just letting you know.
Okay.
And any follow-ups?
We can certainly follow it up.
Okay.
Okay.
And then the next thing is the accreditation. And it opens on December the 2nd. And it's through February. And last year's accreditation, and I wish Susie would have been here. Last year's accreditation was the first year of the new accreditation process. And it was the very first one. And did any of you guys get the result of that accreditation? What happened from it?
No.
Because Susie got it, but I didn't get it. And I asked her about it, and she said that we had gotten marked down a point of and she knows how I didn't like fours, and so she didn't tell me, and that had something to do with something else. She said that we got marked down one. I don't know what we got marked down in. And this opens up December the 2nd, this new accreditation process again. Last accreditation process, I was up over 48 hours solid, no sleep whatsoever, working on this accreditation process by myself. The accreditation process falls under the superintendent.
I think under the accreditation process, to answer your question, as I recall from last year when we were discussing it, that they knocked down all the schools by 1 point.
We did fantastic, is what she told
we
me.
We did,
yeah.
But we got knocked down 1 point because they did that for everybody. And I didn't really understand why, other than I think there was some, that was an OPI issue.
She said it was because there wasn't an Indian Ed for All image or something, and I was like, okay. But if I don't know, I can't fix the accreditation process. So that's right. Coming up, and it's going to be from December the 2nd through February. And with the amount of stuff that has to go in it, I can't do another 48 hours and then continue to teach and work. I can't do that. And so, and then the internet, when we had the internet down on the 5th, typically what would happen is I would call in the internet being down, and then I would go over to Diane, and then she would do all the follow-up and stuff. And so, but now, and Ken said that he would do all that following up. But on the same day, Diane, you came in and told me, you said, you just call them right here from this phone number. And I'm like, I know, but I don't have time to go back and forth. And so...
You don't have time to pick up the phone and call them and say, our internet's out, please call us back when it's up again?
No, I just said I make the first phone call. But the other phone calls coming in and having to follow up when getting it fixed. Because usually when it goes down... down, and there's a lot of communication that has to go back and forth. And so, Ken, you're going to get all that. You want me just to contact you once I make the initial call, call you and just say, hey, can you get with
him? He's the point man on that.
Okay. I just want to make sure of that. Okay. We talked about the teacherage. The security light was put out on the porch. It was gone. Our security light from the front porch was just gone.
I think Herb had taken that down when he was working on something up there.
Oh, okay. Because I was like,
yeah, I remembered it now.
Light out here. I can't see. But it's not, already put it up, but it's not working. It's not coming on.
Okay.
So I don't know what's going on with that.
I drove by and it was up. It was on the other night. So
okay, good.
I saw it and it's on.
Oh, which one?
Outside.
There's one here, but there's one on the porch.
There was one.
Yeah, this one works.
Okay.
The one over the porch doesn't
okay.
work. Yeah, and that's the one where the kids are coming up.
Well,
the steps. And then we have leftover flooring out there. It's been put in that trash can, and it's great flooring. And when we get a scarred up piece, I don't know where the rest of the pieces are, but we have flooring out in that trash bin out there. And so figure out where we can put that flooring, that if we have to reuse it, we don't want to have to go buy more and fix it up.
Isn't that already, Jim?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Normally, yeah. I didn't know it was out there.
Yeah, and I just noticed it, and I put a note out there and asked him to clean up the back
porch. Normally how that works
is
you put something up on the board, and
yep,
he takes
mm-hmm.
care of it. And
yep.
He shared with me that he's on that, so put a note on the board and he'll take care of that.
Well, that doesn't always happen, but yeah, okay. But then I get with you and you take care of it. So then I don't have the numbers or contact information for UPS and FedEx and stuff, and so we're getting boxes left outside.
They both have the combination.
Oh, they do? Okay. They didn't before, and so good.
The UPS guy said he asked you, and you said that he couldn't have it. I gave it to him, and I sent Dave an email to that effect. And I gave it to Randy.
I
don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what he said.
In the container, I need, there's no fall decorations or Christmas. I can't get to them. Everything, I had talked with Artie about putting stuff in the container. There's no rhyme or reason, and he had just told Josh, just throw stuff in there. There's no place to put anything. And so that's why, and I have to keep going in and move stuff, and I can't. I've already hurt my back, and I've hurt it out there, and I can't move stuff.
What do you need?
And so I need the stuff moved.
What stuff? If you
all can. Of her financials and stuff that have been put in front of them. They're heavy legal boxes, and yeah.
Okay.
So I just need help on that.
That's something Artie can do.
Well, Artie said he doesn't do that. He doesn't do the boxes. That is not him. I've already asked him.
I'll volunteer, Josh. Have a
finish. I already asked Artie.
Well,
and right. I asked Artie because he had moved stuff when he got my table for the library, and I said, could you put the stuff back over where
Artie's,
you got it?
Artie's got some back things
so
going
said,
on.
He didn't move it.
Left with your knees, Josh.
Yeah.
We're always close to if you need us to come
yeah.
do something. I'll volunteer.
Thank you.
This is stuff that we can all be arranged. It's not, this isn't hard.
Okay, thank you.
This isn't hard at all. This is, try to get on it. We've got the action list, and I'm making notes, so we'll put them on there and who's assigned, so.
And the last thing is that you were going to check to see, Diane, if the window covers could be covered under that $8,000 grant. Did they get back with you and say yes?
They cannot.
They cannot because
no.
Okay.
So that the window covering is going to come out of the building reserve fund, which now it can happen. It's too late in the season. It's too cold out, and so it'll have to wait till next summer.
Okay.
But we've got coverings in here.
And the price will more than likely go up.
Probably.
Yeah. It's, well, I'm sure that the school will get it. Get more money, I'm sure. Just like all the rest of the educational process.
It'd be a good one if we can, we'll add that to our fundraising for the summer. We can add that and say mm-hmm. that we're going to be paying for window covering mm-hmm. for the safety of the kids.
That'd work.
So that would be a good one for the fundraising because they'll ask me, what do you want? It's like, well, you know, that would be a great one. And so, and we raise that amount of money, so I'll put a bug in the committee's ear.
Okay,
good.
Thank you.
So.
All right, we're on, now we're up to the clerk's report, October financials.
Turn in your books to the financial section. Expenditures for October. I will give you the totals for each fund. You can look over the details if you have any questions you can ask. General fund, what, $3,820.13. Retirement, $447.91. Miscellaneous programs, $5,083.57. Building reserve fund, $1,443.44. For total expenditures for the month of October of $10,795.01. Revenues for the month of October. Details on the top of the page, gentlemen. I will give you the totals. General fund, $6,109.84. Transportation, $1.33. Retirement, $57.94. Miscellaneous programs fund, $19,705.46. Lease rent fund, $5.82. Impact aid, 56 cents. Technologies, $5.63. Flexibility, $12.08. Building reserve, $561.10. Student extracurricular activities, $11.75, for total revenues for the month of October of $26,471.51. Take the next page, gentlemen, fold it in half. And as you can see, we balance across all funds. May I have a motion?
Motion we accept the clerk's report on the treasury report.
I'll concur on the October financials.
Thank you. Now we'll move on to the detailed November expenditures. I'm just going to read the totals. You have the detail there in front of you. If you have any questions, just ask. General fund, $727.77. Miscellaneous, $356.66. Builder reserve, $310.72. Student extracurricular activities, $24.72. And that $42.72 was supplies for the Wings Walk, which the kids chose to do. Total, $1,419.87. This next one is the our expenditure budget for the general fund, and it is, we have .76% left under instruction, 100% under the school library, or no, excuse me, elections. The business services is at 73.99%. Operations and maintenance is at 51.74%. This is scary because, well, you only budgeted $6,800 for the janitor, and we've already spent for janitorial services for the year, $4,347. So,
how's that happening?
I just pay what's on the timesheets, ma'am.
Okay.
I don't know what's happening. You sign off on them.
No, I don't see the timesheets every time. They're not given to me. Okay.
Well, from now on, I guess you need to be looking at him, but I don't think that he's writing hours that he's not working. I just don't think that there was enough budgeted for it.
Okay.
Okay, so we are sitting at 70.93% of our budget left. So we just have to be really careful and watch it. You know, I mean, I sent out an email about the electricity bill, and I don't know, whatever we did last year, whatever was done last year seemed to work with not heating the building full out max all the time. Okay, so
we turn it down every night.
All right.
Last year we were using the wood stove, and then we were told not to because they were working against each other, so we haven't used that at all.
Okay.
We turn it down everything. I know that for the first 3 months of school, I was telling Artie and Duray to shut the lights off. They were leaving the lights on constantly, and I just told them, I said, I can't be coming from my house every night turning off lights. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. And so, and then the only other thing is I could think of is that the cost of electricity has gone up too.
That could be. All I do is just send the information off the bill that says what the difference between last year, this time, and this year.
Yeah,
bill.
Got the email.
Yeah, so what I did was I have the kids now. If we're not in the library, the light doesn't need to be on. It used to be every light was on, and so now we just turn off that. Don't leave it on. They're more conscious about turning off bathrooms. So
usually the major thing that gets you on electricity is heat.
Yeah, yep. It's these things. And just so you know, this one, and I think it's the one in the library, they have to be at the same. So if I heat this room, the library has to be at the same types of settings, is what Artie said. That, because remember, this one won't work if that one's not set up just like it.
Oh, same, yeah. Same temperature.
Yeah. And so these two have to be at the same, and then this is the odd man out. And so that was, and because we called the company several times, Diane and I did, in regards to this one not ever, it, not working.
Yeah, they were fighting against each other or something.
Yeah, so that's kind of problematic because I don't need a warm library. I'm not in.
So I have a wondering if it does.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there a motion on the November?
Well, we don't need to move on those. Those just are okay. Explanatory, just on October's.
Okay. Balances. And we're at policy. Policy review, 3110, entrance placement and transfers. And this is to comport with new change, specifically under line 21 through 31, relates to students enrolled by the trustees under this provision shall find the student's exceptional circumstances. A, the child's under 5 is determined by the trustees to be ready for kindergarten. B, the child under 5 is being admitted in early literacy, or C, the adult is 19 years of age or older, and the trustees determined that there would benefit from the educational programs offered by the school of the district.
C does not apply to us, as we are not a high school, and so I think we can do without C. Because a 19-year-old would be a high school student, would have been someone who didn't maybe graduate and wants to come back. So C does not apply to us, so we need to strike C.
Okay.
Just those first A and B ones apply to us.
This is, and then also on the second page, lines 4 through 7, for purposes of this section, proof of identity means a certified copy of a birth certificate, a certified transcript, or similar student records from previous school, or any documentary evidence that a school district considers to be satisfactory proof of identity. They're just asking us to verify identity of the student who wants to transfer in. So that's included in there. So, is there any questions from out there? Okay. Do you have a motion?
Yeah, I motion we approve the changes to the entrance placement and transfer policy 3110.
Yes.
Yes. 3110.
Yep.
I concur. The next one is 3141, non-resident student enrollment. We need to pick a date on that for when a student, when will the last day we'll consider them to be applied by. They have to do it by a certain day if they want to transfer in. I think Troy had May. Is that right? I'm thinking that was May.
Actually, I think the policy itself tells when it has to happen.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't? It,
not
okay,
now.
So
we have
okay.
to establish it.
Okay.
That's, if we apply...
We just need to decide when we are going to cut off applications for out-of-district students. That's what we have to decide. And it needs to be decided in early May because... If we have students, and then we need that we know our we're going to have to pay to go some that we find out have to go somewhere else, we've got to run a tuition levy. So I think the cutoff date should be, when's the last day of school, Sabre?
June the 5th. This year?
So I think it should be, it has to be by May, because
it needs to
we
be
need
by
the
May because we have to get notice to the county treasurer of the levy.
Yeah.
And that's
all of that.
That's by May.
Question. Yeah.
Yes. So this is for, say I didn't want to bring my kids here, I would be bringing them to Troy. That's what that's for, the, because you said tuition.
No, it's for people coming in.
If somebody from out of the district wants to come here, they need to apply first.
Okay.
And it needs to be approved by the board.
Okay.
But all of that has to do with tuition and how much we're going to charge, and all that has to be figured out prior to the board making that decision.
Right.
So it needs to be done by before the end of the school year. So pick a date in May.
And that relates
school year.
It relates to the average number belonging, our budget, and as we see, the other things that we have to consider, like grants, how to pay everybody, and that sort of thing. So that, and that's just part of the process. And so I would say by May 1.
That's what I'm thinking.
I'd say May 1 too. Well, would it be better worded the first Friday or the first Monday in May? Because like if May 1 is on a Saturday, I mean, like.
Well, then
would it be
get after it by April 30th.
Okay. Good point.
Yeah,
because it also, the important, because what you'll find out is what happened to Troy, too. They had so many kids coming in, and then they're regular kids that are already there, because we fluctuate, because we've gone from one kid to two kids to six to four to eight to two to five, to, so it goes back, and that's how it's always been for years, so, and if you get an influx of kids, and then if you only have one teacher and not enough curriculum and stuff, then what are you going
to
do?
And then you have to look at your levy. Once again, you have to look at the levy, because that's your the end of the safety valve,
right,
is the levy, and you can only go so far on that.
Right.
Because after that, you have to get permission to go exceed that, and I don't know that you can.
Yeah.
So
it would be too late.
All right, so that'd be May 1, and then an optional language in this for planning purposes, late applications shall not be considered. We can leave that language in.
Do you want to consider late applications or no? Because that's your choice.
No.
You don't want to. So you're going to strike the one that said, the line that says late applications may be considered.
Because if we allow them in, then that affects the average number belonging, and once again, we have
okay,
the
okay, so decisions, the, all decisions on applications for non-resident students will be decided at the May board meeting.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
All right. It also includes in there added language
they added
by the Board of Trustees. They just added that that the parents be notified of the decision or the agreement by the board.
Okay, so also in that same, on line 40, it said administrator shall submit to the Board of Trustees a list of students who are recommended for enrollment. We don't have an administrator, or are you going to put that duty to the head teacher? That just lays more stuff on her plate. Who's going to decide this? You need to write in there. Well, the trustees shall look at applications and make that decision, period.
She was designated administrator to begin with. The teacher was.
I don't know how that works.
Well, the way it's worked in practice is we've had one that I know of, and Sabray made the judgment call on it, called Trish, who was the previous board chair, who then in turn called Dave and said, "What do you think? Here's what Sabray says." And I said, "Well, I know the family. Sabray says it's a good shot. Let's do it." And I made the decision. Trish. And so that's the only time it's happened. So actually, it does come from Sabray.
She's a teacher.
So, and that's the list. So I think we'll leave it.
It should not say district administrator. It should say head teacher. That's her title.
We'll just change that to head teacher.
And it flowed nicely, and there was a lot of back and forth communication.
Mm-hmm. So that works out well. And then, and the rest of the policies under consideration, they all look good. Just so you know, but we have to review them every 3 years. And the problem is their last review date was 2012. So that's not anywhere close to 3 years. So I ask that we start going through and polishing them up a little. On this one. Line 4, still on 3141, the other language that's on there was added, a list of why students should not be recommended, and then also an application requiring discussion of confidential student information shall be considered only during closed session of the board.
Okay.
And then... And these come with the recommendations from the attorneys. So there's nothing else in there other than what has been recommended by the attorneys on this. And this is we've had this on the agenda before. So
yeah.
Do you have a motion?
Yeah, I have a motion that we accept. Proposed changes from this non-resident student enrollment.
3141. I'll concur. Okay. For review, we have this 1310 district policy and procedure. It tells us how we adopt policies.
And we haven't changed anything about how we do that.
No.
So all we need to do is, because these policies should be reviewed every 3 to 5 years, the board chose to do it every 3 years, and this policy was last reviewed in 2012. So, yep, we're just reviewing it and going to change and update the review date on it.
All right. And... we'll just proceed through each one and then handle them as an abbreviated agenda. In policy 1113 on vacancies to the board, it's the same procedure that we've always had.
Yep. It's just the procedure that we follow to fill a vacancy on the board.
And it follows the state statute and follows the state policy, and nothing has changed. We have policy 1105, membership and terms of office. That's set by statute and by policy. Nothing has changed. Policy notice form 1420 NF1.
This is the notice regarding public comment, and this is the little blurb that is read or posted before every board meeting, and it is how it's a notice regarding public comment that follows Montana State Code. Nothing's changed.
We basically allow for public comment at each item of the agenda before we make a board decision. And also at the end, you can bring up a public comment but no action can happen upon it if it wasn't included on the agenda. That's basically it in a nutshell. And we have notice form.
The uniform complaint procedure, which hasn't changed.
And it's real hard. It says, I wish to have the Board of Trustees consider and review my concerns about, has an item, a signature and a date, an address and phone number, and that whether or not they observed this behavior or whatever it is, the complaint is. It's just a notice form.
And this form is actually on the school's website, so you can go out and download it and fill it out and present it as a complaint form to a board member.
And do you have any, is there any public comment on any of these policies? They're all the same. We've been following them and you've seen them in action if you've been here, so.
All of these are back from 2012.
Diane, have you ever had a grievance form filled out?
I do believe that Pam Fuqua got one at one time. But they don't come to me. I don't ever see them. She deals with them, and I think it was one done by a parent.
I haven't officially gotten one either.
Yeah, I've
Pam heard. Did. I'm positive she did.
Okay.
Do you have a motion?
Okay, the motion should just state that policies 1310, 1113, 1105, 1420 and 1700 were all up for review, needed no changes, and will be approved as...
Approved as read.
Done.
I think that's good. Okay. I haven't got my glasses. I can't see the numbers. I give up.
Okay. All right.
Say what she said.
What she said. Ditto. Ditto.
You can make as long as everybody in the building's okay with that.
Is there a comment on the?
Not on the policies.
Okay. I'll concur with the policies. That is all of the items on new business. We're now at that part of our agenda on public comment.
Okay, so the Yak family.
Tracy McCready.
Oh, sorry, Tracy McCready. Most of you know me, so. The Yak families, we have a Yak co-op, homeschool co-op happening this year. And they've asked me to find out the availability of the playground after school hours and on weekends. So I told them I would come and pitch that to the board and find out. I guess what the policy is. They'd like access.
Tracy.
It's open.
Yeah, I believe it is open.
Okay. Not anytime, not during school.
It's open,
after
but
school, she said.
Oh,
yeah.
After school and weekends.
Yeah,
you're
school starts at 3:30. Yeah. So anytime absolutely. After 3:30, school's usually not in session on Mondays, except for the session this coming Monday.
Yeah.
And then Saturday and Sunday, it's open.
Okay.
Just check the school calendar, and that's what we follow.
Okay.
And then I would say, like, on weekends, you know, not before 8 o'clock, you know, just because we have, we have a tenant here,
yes.
So
yes.
That's why I...
Well, it's been a question at the last couple of meetings, and I said, I'll go find out.
It's answered.
That's okay. You know, this is probably easier.
Okay.
See
well, you've got to call.
There has been a request. I'm not
just and it, you know, we have the signs up. It's play at your own risk. No, at most, if there are kids that require some adult supervision, you know, just the standard. Other schools do the same thing.
I
they
mean,
allow.
When I taught in Troy, the parents were always there after school hours. Or
When I was in school, any time they could get a kid to come to school was a good day. But for whatever reason, even if it was just playing in the playground or sports.
Adult supervision. Because we're just expecting two adults to come and play basketball and stuff too against each other, you know. When they're uncovered.
Unfortunately,
and,
now it's
not. Yeah, not right now, but in the spring and stuff. But
is
also,
this, you need to check and make sure.
I don't know because I said if you guys needed anything.
You take anything out of them you want.
If you do a purge of anything, then I can reach out to you guys as well.
Okay.
And also, you guys
the meeting date.
My clerk also informs me, and she's right, I need to advise that our next meeting date is December the 18th at 3:45. So, with that, we'll be in recess.
Thank you all for adjourned or whatever it is.